This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Hello, there we go. Good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Get your heads right. It is a... Well, it's a World Series Friday. The World Series has arrived, and we're not in it, unfortunately. But the enemy of my enemy is my friend, as has already been mentioned in the chat. So let's go Yankees. No problem rooting for the Yanks today. They take on the L.A. Dodgers. Game one tonight, 5:08. We'll be talking about that. It's going to be a good day. Today is Friday. We're all a little bit worse for wear, I'd say. A little bit worn out, but... we're all in it together, that's for sure. And we get to live in San Diego, and we won't have Carmageddon tonight. I mean, it's going to be bad traffic because it's Friday. Nothing like Los Angeles. Absolutely nothing like what's going to go up there, what's going to happen there today. It's going to be insane. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He is the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Got Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. A little tired. Felt like a long week this week.
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, you said, well, we said this earlier off the air, and you said, well, it shouldn't be a long week for you. You had a day off. Yeah, I was at Disneyland pushing a 700-pound stroller around. It's not tiring. When we got home that night, I was exhausted, or that afternoon.
Of course.
Bo says, hey, can you play baseball with me? And I looked at him. I go, what? And he goes, can you play baseball with me? Now, normally... you know, I say, yeah, sure, I'll throw you some grounders. I go, no. And he goes, well, why not? I go, we had different Disney experiences. I go, I pushed you around in a covered stroller for 7 hours. You had a cover over you. You were laying there, sucking your thumb. I'm pushing you, the double bob, which is about 400 pounds, pushing this sled, weaving it around Disneyland. And I said, buddy, I'm exhausted, mentally, physically.
What do they call that back in the day? Like a litter. You could have had the two poles and just carry them all the way through Disneyland in a litter.
I said, bro, come on. I love you. And I feel bad now, in hindsight, turning him down. What if those are the grounders that would have propelled him to the next level? Like, yeah, I almost made it, but, you know, made this error
what
and didn't get selected.
What if that's the thing he's talking about in therapy
in
15 years?
It could be. Yeah,
Wouldn't throw me grounders. He didn't? Well, I mean, he did every day except that one day we went to Disneyland.
Yeah, one day he took me to Disneyland, spent a fortune on me, bought me everything I wanted, wrote everything, got the food I wanted, drove. I go, Bo, I also drove both ways. I'm whipped. And he's like, he looks at me, he goes, fine, and then throws his shoes. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, dude. it's so hard to navigate these little turns, man. But I said, no, dude, we had completely different experiences. So, yes, I'm a little spent as well. But listen, man, this is where we make our money in the off season. Ben and Woods, we're going to keep plowing ahead. Thank you guys for being here. We certainly do appreciate it. Certainly
I do feel like, guess what? We are already 1 week closer. You know, it goes faster than you think.
It does.
I realize that the World Series hasn't even started yet,
like,
but
we are getting into the grind for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Like November is pretty lean. I mean, you got the GM meetings and
yep.
You don't pull a whole lot from the GM meetings. Then you get to December and it's okay, winter meetings, might be some headlines there. Then we have the extravaganza and then we're out. Then we come back. We got like a week or two before fantasy camp. Come back from that, and it's like 3 weeks until we're off to spring training.
If AJ Preller would let us mic him up for the GM meetings, then we'd get some good content. Until that day happens, where he lets us actually mic him up and listen to all of his conversations with other GMs, it is going to be a little bit lean. But I would pay a pretty good amount of money for that. To hear the intimate conversations with, you know, Ben Charrington or whoever he's talking to in there.
Do you think he's any more interesting in his private conversations than he is in the, you know, Zoom media sessions?
Ask your brother. That's your brother.
I know.
Who plays basketball with him. He gets way more stuff than we get. We get nothing. We get nada. Zero.
I need to get AJ out on the tier ones, man.
What?
I need to get AJ out and play with the
tier ones. Playing baseball with us?
No, basketball.
Yeah, dude. He's like a baller.
Yeah. And I'm sure he's super fun on the court because he's really good, apparently.
Yeah, apparently he's a total G out there, which it's crazy. I mean, he looks like he's a stone cold killer. But yeah, I think he's totally different when he's sitting down chopping it up with another GM about what are you looking for? Now, this is what we're looking for. Is this guy a problem for you? Yeah, he's a bit of a problem for us, but I think we, you know, you guys could probably whip him into shape. Whatever. Whatever it is, I think it'd be much.
I always wonder, though, how careful they are in not revealing too much. I mean, they're so paranoid about not giving out information to the media, presumably because they don't want other organizations to get that information.
Sure.
So when you're actually talking to those other GMs, wouldn't it make sense that you're actually even more buttoned up and more careful about your words and guarded when you're talking to an actual employee, general manager of another organization who very well could use whatever you say to them against you in a future trade negotiation?
It's got to be a really tough world to navigate, you know, as you're looking to add a piece but get rid of a piece, and they're looking at you with the side eye going, so why don't you want him? If he's, you know,
exactly,
he's got he's a plus fastball, plus slider, plus changeup, but he's not a fit for you. Why is that? Huh? Interesting.
The second you say, we're talking about whatever player in a deal, you now have given that information. Okay, they want to trade him for some reason.
Yeah, why do they want to trade him?
Then you call your guys and you go, dig into this guy. I don't know. Why are they willing to trade him?
What's the problem?
What's wrong with him? Yeah. What's the problem?
Lack of confidence. Ugly girlfriend. Yeah, that's it. What do they say in Moneyball? He just goes, this is just a problem for us. You know, it's just a problem for us. You know, and again, other team might look at somebody and go, oh, I see a wealth of talent. And it's not like we haven't seen guys leave here and get better. You know, guys have gone other places, and you never know what a player's going through, where they look at it and go, ah, oh, man, this is my last chance. I better get my ass together and really buckle down.
It happens all the time. It happens the other way, too, where we get that player.
Sure,
Cronenworth was a throw-in.
Jeremiah Estrada, man. I mean, what better example than that? You don't think the Cubs could have used the Jeremiah Estrada at the back of their...
Jerickson Profar.
Right. It's just one of those things, man. So, obviously with any Padres news, you can tune into 97.3 The Fan. And we'll have it for you. But yeah, we're a little bit we're wanting some news.
I think part of my exhaustion also stems from more IKEA construction yesterday.
More?
Well, you have to put everything together once you get it home. And my son was putting together his new bed frame, and
I didn't know you got a frame.
He was doing a frame as well. Yeah.
So you went last week, you got a desk,
and an end table,
and a
bed frame. Yeah.
Okay. Those three things.
Yeah.
You put together the desk last weekend.
Yes, we did that first for my older son. This is for my younger son. Needed a new bed frame, and for some reason you get to one step and it just, you can't get it together. It's like, okay, the screw doesn't quite go all the way through. You move on, and then it comes back apart, and you got to take everything apart and go back to that step where somehow you just can't get it right, like over and over again. You're trying, and what am I missing about this little picture? There's no words, of course, in IKEA instructions.
I'll tell you what you're missing. Skills to do things like that. That's the only thing that you're missing. You're missing the skill, dexterity, and let's be honest, ring the bell on me, the manliness to do it.
I eventually got it, though, right? It took forever.
Right.
But I eventually got it right. So I had the skill to do it, just not the first time or the second time or the third time.
When did you do this?
Between our show and when I went back to Channel 10.
So there is an app that you can use that has, you can get a handyman to come out and do it for you.
TaskRabbit.
That completely undoes the appeal of IKEA, and that is the affordability of
They're like masters
the
at
furniture.
It. So the cool thing is I bought Hannah for her birthday.
Why would you buy anything and not want it done the right way?
That's 99%
and the first time.
The other 1% is that I'm a lazy turd. But the So she wanted this big rack, which she already had. she wanted a big weight rack for all of her dumbbells for her gym. So I thought, oh, okay. I went online. I bought it. What's that brand that you see all over the gym? It's sturdy, dude.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's like steel. And it was delivered on a pallet. It was 1,000 pounds. I mean, it's massive. So it gets dropped off in the driveway, and I go, well, yeah, I'm not putting that together. She's like, you're not? I go, no, I'll hire it done. So I'm looking through, I'm scrolling through the different handymen on there, and Benny, the top-rated guys all have IKEA master, like IKEA. That guy probably could have done it in 15 minutes. That's what they do, and they do it really well.
But that, to me, is surrender and failure.
No, it's not. That's being smart.
Dude, in my younger days, I have two jobs. I've mounted televisions on my own.
Sure.
You don't feel confident in it. You're like, this could fall off the wall at any time.
Correct.
Now, if you're spending $600, $700
the person
on
who
TV,
put it up doesn't also feel like, this could fall off the wall.
That's what they do.
It's a job for them.
That's what they do for a living. Here's Nate in the chat saying that, handyman, come on, testosterone is vanishing. No, it's being smart. It's knowing what you don't know. And that
I'm good at following instructions, though. I am. When they're spelled out, generally step by step. That's one of my skills.
Right, change your oil next time, then. Read the instructions.
Is there instructions for that?
Online.
I've never seen instructions.
Here's the deal.
Well, I did. I changed my washer fluid based on a YouTube video.
Next time you do a colonoscopy, just do it yourself.
Just read the instructions.
That's what a man does. Man gives himself his own colonoscopy. If you have full testosterone, you just give it to yourself.
How to give
you. Yeah. How about a vasectomy? I'll just do it myself. Nate, you going to give yourself a vasectomy? No. No. Well, there's Orthodox in the chat. Happy to help. I make a living on this stuff.
All right, here you go. How to give yourself a vasectomy.
Exactly.
Take a sharp knife or scalpel.
Right.
I'm not going to read the rest.
Go ahead.
You actually Googled that? Is that
something came up? We're men. We got to read the directions. We do it ourselves.
Why would a man give himself his own vasectomy? He's caught in the woods. He's stuck out there. He's like, I might as well get this done while I'm out here. I'm telling you. Look, I know for you it's the money. It's not the sense of accomplishment. Here's the thing. You have two jobs, two full-time jobs. Giving yourself a little extra peace and quiet for $70 feels like a no-brainer to me. It's just an absolute no-brainer.
I'm not wired that way. I'm not.
You need to rewire yourself.
There's a way that you can do it with less expense. I feel like you should try to do it that way first.
These aren't like random slobs. They're random people, sure. But like,
it's not the people.
I hired a TaskRabbit to put in like a floating shelf that I didn't want to mess with the studs and the wall and all that. I hired a guy and I was talking to him and I'm like, so is this like your job? And he goes, yeah, I'm my own boss. But I am booked like all day, every day, sometimes 6 or 7 days a week.
They're incredible.
Everybody needs handiwork. And it's just minor things, but I make really great money doing it.
It's incredible. When I found this guy, and the guy was elite. He came over, put the thing together, put it in the garage, set the dumbbells on it, and I went, it was worth every penny. You know what I did while he did it? I sat inside and ate Chick-fil-A. That's what I did. And he had a great day, and I had a great day. Everybody
How did you
went.
Gain all the weight?
Yeah, I get TaskRabbits to do all my tasks for me. It's not like you're broke. You can afford the $70.
I get that, but you're also then having to schedule it at the time that's going to work.
Super easy.
It's not that easy.
It's like more. It's like
a full calendar with all the availability. You pick the time.
Yes, you pick. It's such a good app.
He wanted to get it done that day right away, so we just did it. It's done now.
It'll take me 5 minutes.
Got done.
All right. Well, then how many hours did it take you?
It took me about 2, and then he finished it after I left.
What's your time worth? Is your time worth $35 an hour?
It's the time that I'm not doing anything. I should be productive during that time. You just want me to sit on my butt and do nothing for 2 hours?
I want you to turn your brain on.
Yeah, that's what I've wanted every day since I've met you.
I cannot do this.
You know that's all I've ever wanted for you is peace? That's it. Success, riches, no. peace.
I always feel like I want peace, but the second I get it, I get antsy and go, I should be doing something.
Renee in the chat says, wimps. Oh, she just deleted it. She said, I'm a 56-year-old woman, and I do it myself. Good for you. I'm telling you, Renee, there's things I'm good at. There's things I'm not. I'm glad to pay for the things. You know, I'm glad to pay for the things that I'm not good at, and let that. And I'm contributing to somebody like, else's day.
When I buy any piece of furniture or anything like from IKEA, Target, whatever, I can take one look at it.
Go, that's not for me.
Whether it's online or in the store, and I can go, yeah, I can put that together.
Yeah,
or,
of course,
absolutely no chance. Somebody else will be doing that.
My wife brings up the Nate Bargatze stand-up. The handyman shows up and goes, is your husband home? He goes, yeah, she's around here somewhere. That's identical to my house. It's so good. Well, listen, yes, Dominic's man's got to know his limitations. I know mine. And it anything with a screwdriver or a ratchet or a stud finder, best left to somebody else. I'm just going to do more damage in the end. And I'm going to be more frustrated. I'm going to be a worse father and a worse husband if I'm the one stuck doing it. So there you go. Well, I'm glad you got it done.
Yes, we got it done.
Hope it stays together.
I've never had like a complete failure.
Do you feel more manly now that you did it? Or less because it took you three times?
No, I think I just feel... there is a sense of accomplishment.
Sure,
which
anytime.
Is nice. You know, getting it done yourself. But there's also the, obviously, extra fatigue. Taxing
well,
yourself.
If you know why our show is terrible today...
There you go.
It's because of IKEA.
You could have just hired somebody. You wouldn't be tired this morning.
Yeah, you'd be feeling great.
I don't think that would be true either.
So. Feeling great. Yeah, this guy's always tired.
We will set the menu when we come back. It is the Friday edition of Ben and Woods. World Series Game 1 coming up tonight, unfortunately, from Dodger Stadium. We'll get into all of it coming up. First, Kelly Danick's got a check of traffic. Ben, Woods, and Paul on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Any big plans this weekend?
Let's see. Soccer game tomorrow at 10 for Bo. Notre Dame plays at 9. Soccer
yeah, early.
Game's at 10. I'll be able to watch... You know, opening kickoff.
They made my Ben Super Saturday college football lineup, which we'll get to later.
Not surprised, as they should. Huge, huge game against Navy.
It is a big game.
It's a huge game. Yeah.
And sometimes you say that cynically, but in this case, very much true for both teams.
They're unbelievable.
Yeah.
They're unbelievable. They're throwing this year. It's a whole different scene. They're throwing the football as well. So, going to be, I was mad at first, and now I'm like, you know what? It's probably fine. I don't have to watch that game because it's always like getting teeth pulled watching your team play against Navy and their triple option and all that. So we got that. We got baseball on Sunday. So just coaching and cheering. And
I'm a little bummed because I'm not going to really be able to watch game two of the World Series that closely because we are going to the San Diego State Washington State game tomorrow and tailgating, which is fun. Yeah. Yeah, we're going early.
What's early? Game's at what time?
7:30.
Oh, my God.
The plan is like 4 o'clock. Get down there. Get a spot.
I think you'd be fine.
I think we'll find a spot.
I think you're good. I think you'd be
Shell good visibility. Says she's probably going to make ribs, and we'll take out the mini grill to finish them off when we're there.
Okay.
I'm sure there'll be some other appetizer dips and type items and have a couple of drinks and just sit out inside Snapdragon Stadium and get ready for the Aztecs and the Cougs tomorrow night. It's been a while since I've actually been to a football game as a fan.
Who are you rooting for?
You had to ask, didn't you?
Yeah.
I think she's asleep. I'll be cheering for San Diego State quietly.
Okay. Quietly.
Yes. But not like desperately. Washington State 6-1. They're a decent team.
Good team.
They're already bowl eligible and doing pretty well this season. But I do think, even though the Aztecs are 14.5 point underdogs, they're coming off a bye, two straight wins, gotten a little healthier. They could make a game of this at home.
It's the spread's like
14.5,
yeah.
So obviously, I'm expecting, and not a bad thing, that she'll be happy, you know. With her experience and her team will win, but it's not a guarantee. I do think that there's a potential for an upset. Washington State is a really good quarterback, a dual threat. John Mateer has almost 2,000 passing yards and over 500 rushing yards. A lot of touchdowns both ways. I don't think San Diego State has faced the likes of him yet this season, and that will be a challenge for Sean Lewis's club tomorrow night.
Where are you sitting?
I really don't know Snapdragon Stadium well enough.
Have you been to a football game there?
I've been to the press box and watched a football game, but I haven't actually sat in the stands. So, like, the section numbers and stuff they're all pretty decent seats.
Yeah.
So.
I've called them.
Yeah, we're not, like, right down on the field or anything, right. But, you know, it's more like the Washington State, I think, kind of area of the wherever, like, up is. But it's not, you can't really, there's no giant nosebleeds at Snapdragon.
Well, 7:30 at night will be nice. The weather will be.
It won't be hot. I actually worry that it might get kind of chilly.
It will,
you know, in the evening. Yeah. So you're gonna have layers. Got to go with the layers tomorrow.
Which is weird to think about, but yes, you do. You will need layers.
Very foggy out there this morning.
Oh my
like walking
god!
Through a cloud on my way. Way in.
I had to slow to like 22 miles an hour on the freeway. Because I couldn't see the 52. I couldn't see it.
Be very careful.
Yeah, be very careful out there this morning. It's like Manchester, England out there
right now.
I almost
died this morning. There was an accident that had just happened. I didn't see the crash, but like the flashers were still on.
Yeah.
And I saw all the cars in front of me start to like swerve and slam on the brakes. Everyone slams on their brakes from, you know, the speed limit, of course, 65 to about 25. And then some guy he's like, nah, I'm just going to keep going around.
I got it figured out.
Weave through like eight cars doing 80, 90 miles an hour.
Very cool.
And I like, holy crap. It was like a jet flying by.
Very cool, buddy.
I'm like, hey, man, you see the flashers? You see the people standing in the fast lane because they're in an accident?
Hey,
maybe just chill out.
It's your fun day, dude. Do whatever you want, right?
God.
So you're going to miss a World Series game for this.
Well, I mean, you know, I'll have it on my phone.
All
and
right,
I can stream it from the parking lot now thanks to the,
the
marvels
games,
of modern technology.
Catch, like, the first six innings.
Yeah, games at 5.
And we don't have one of those giant like RV tailgate setups with a big screen TV, which would be cool
to put
the game up. But I'll have it on my phone. Yeah, I don't have tailgate enough to justify that. But
I haven't had a good tailgate in a long, long, long time. I'm a big, big fan of tailgate.
It is a fun activity.
It's a nightmare to put together.
Yeah, it's a nightmare to take apart.
It's a nightmare to take apart. But while you're in it, and you got your comfortable, you bring in a chair?
Yeah.
Okay. Bring a chair, and you just sit and listen
little
to music,
table,
little
chair,
table, watch
cooler,
a game.
Food.
Yeah.
Little barbecue.
Pretty elite.
That's it. The worst part of the tailgate, of course, is after you then pack it all up, you put it in the car, the game, you get home, and everything is just...
Your car reeks.
Well, yes, and every dish has like been sitting there for hours and hours because you
can't wash the dishes.
So all the dips and the barbecue sauces have just like...
Congealed.
Absolutely hardened on everything that you brought.
Get yourself some of that...
the toss away.
Get yourself some of that top of the dip skin. Just pull it straight off and just right into your mouth. Or some of that barbecue lard that accumulates at the top.
The separation of the layers.
The dark black top of the guacamole every time. Just so good. Every single time.
Yeah, there's a different kind of nastiness of the tailgate remnants at the end of the night.
When you stagger back to the tailgate after the game and the guac sitting there and it's that weird shade of gray and brown, you're like, fine, I'll just stir this up a little.
The last thing you want to do, you get home at 11:30 or whatever it is at night and you're exhausted. It's not like you're going to do the dishes then either. So then they're going to sit all night. And then you wake up on Saturday morning or Sunday morning and you just got this pile going, I got to tackle this now. Oh,
all right. I think maybe we've just figured out.
Is there someone on the internet that I can hire to come do that?
Yes.
Maybe I'll look into that.
I think what we've just discovered by talking through it is that tailgating is massively overrated. I think it's you can go inside, get food there, get drinks there, whatever you need, and then you can throw it away and you wash your hands of it.
We got to the point where my tailgates just consisted of filling a cooler with drinks.
Drinks.
That's the easy part.
Sure. Chips.
Fill it with ice. Honestly, we just hit like the taco shop on the way.
And bring
and
your
bring
food there.
Throw all the trash in the trash can.
Pre-made burritos.
Very smart.
Nobody's
dude.
Upset about that. You still can play, you know, cornhole and set up the chairs, and then you get the drinks. It eliminates a lot of the mess. Now, it may not be as much of a full menu as
sure.
it could be, but, bro, if all you're looking for is just a nice burrito or something, pizza, whatever, just bring it with you.
You want a tailgate ever, You go tailgate with my dad, who's never, he
I
loves
have tailgated with your dad.
Have you?
The Navy Notre Dame game at the Q like 6 years ago.
Now, my dad is an elite tailgater. He's never actually put together a tailgate, though. Never. Never once has he actually brought his own stuff to a tailgate. He did. He has taken stuff from a tailgate, which was my favorite part. Him walking away with a bag of shrimp from the Notre Dame tailgate. One of my lasting core memories of being in my 20s. He's listening right now. I love you, Dad. Don't ever change.
All right. Mixed feelings on the tailgates. That's what I got coming up this weekend. Coming up on our show today, obviously looking ahead to Game 1 of the World Series. Do you want to talk about the controversy from last night's Thursday night football game? Did you see the non-call of the face mask penalty that pretty much ended the game for the Minnesota Vikings?
Everybody saw it except the referees.
Yeah. But what can you do about it, if anything?
Nothing.
I mean, a lot of people think that should be reviewable.
Potentially, but it's not.
It's not.
Yeah. Also,
it was just bad luck for the NFL last
night.
Yeah,
it is also, but did it really cost them the game?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, they had a chance to go down, score a touchdown, get a two-point conversion, and force overtime. It's not impossible to do that.
Fair enough.
The odds were against them.
Paige Spiranak may text me today. You never know. It could happen.
It's not like they're an 0-17. They're a 5-1 team. I mean, Sam Darnold's played well this year. Anyway, we can talk about that. Take on Woods, DDT in our 7 o'clock hour. At 8 o'clock, Jake Mintz will join us from Cespedes Family Barbecue. He's been here all season long. Why not? For Game 1 of the World Series, we'll talk to him at 8 o'clock. And then Rindle Report and get you ready for Andy and Elston at 10 o'clock. It's a pretty simple menu for the program today, just like it'll be a simple menu for the tailgate tomorrow. Probably not that simple. All right, we'll come back and start our baseball discussion with Game 1 of the World Series tonight. And I know we all kind of in our own feelings about this matchup. Coming up next with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan. I will say that the Dodgers have made some head-scratching decisions throughout the playoffs that have worked out really well for the team so far. And I feel like another one is on tap tonight in Game 1 of the World Series. Jack Flaherty was chosen as their Game 1 starter. And yet, even yesterday, you had pitching coach Mark Pryor saying they are like legitimately concerned in the organization about Jack Flaherty's drop in velocity. Huh. Like that's not a fake concern. He acknowledged that, yeah, we got some worries about this.
He said that at Media Day?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Was talked to by reporters, and when they were asked about, hey, you know, he had been in the 94 range, kind of dipped down to the more 92. Is that a concern? And he said, yeah, that's a real concern that we have, moderately concerned about Jack Flaherty.
I thought he was sick. That's why he dipped.
Yeah, but so if I'm not saying you can get through the series without him, but you have set him up now to more likely pitch two games because he's going in Game 1.
Even maybe three
if you need him. Why are you doing that then? If he's the guy you're concerned about, does that mean you're even more concerned about Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Walker Buehler? You could have gone with literally anyone. Everyone is on enough rest.
Oh, yeah.
That they could have picked whoever they wanted to start the game tonight in Game 1. And they settled on Jack Flaherty.
I would say it's a curious move. I think we were all curious about it. But I think Jay nails it. I think they're lying. Is a really good way to...
That is often true.
To
Here's what
say
Mark
that.
Pryor said. Obviously, everybody knows the more velocity, the better, usually, unless you're going way below hitting speed. Concern, yeah, because obviously he was pitching on regular rest and it was a little bit down. Can he pitch with it? Yeah, he's somebody who, more about execution than anything. I think he did a really good job of game planning the second time through.
Sure.
But, I mean, clearly, you know, they're worried about his drop in velocity. He says it's not injury-related, so... But they're going with him.
And again, you say they have multiple choices, and they do. They could go with Yamamoto. They could absolutely go with Buehler as well. No, like without even hesitation. But
you could even go bullpen game in Game 1
if you wanted to. But you're going to have to use him at some point. So I don't know
that
his velo. his velo to, I think if I'm Dave Roberts, and that's a legitimate concern, and I'm not doing my gamesmanship bit that I've been doing all throughout the playoffs, don't you kind of want to do it in game one and not game three when you potentially could be down 2-0, or you know what I mean? Like, let's do it now. Let's see what he's got. Let's even get through the order once or twice and see what happens. I think you probably do it game one and then you adjust from there. I think it's probably the right move if it's a legitimate concern. Will it surprise anyone if Jack Flaherty comes out tonight throwing 96? No, it won't, because that's what the Dodgers have been doing all, you know, the entire postseason is gamesmanship and, oh, we're not sure about this, not sure about that. And it won't surprise me a bit.
I think we both agreed yesterday, though, the path for the Yankees winning the World Series almost definitely includes winning game one tonight.
Winning with your
ace. Gerrit Cole on the mound against a guy that even the Dodgers are admittedly, we'll see, you know, how it goes. If you can't get that one, you know, which ones are you going to get then the rest of the series? So it's just one of the issues going into the series tonight. Obviously, we have litigated and relitigated the Juan Soto trade many times. And ultimately, I think we've all agreed it was a win for both organizations, what they both needed at the time. There is something that we haven't really discussed that involves the Padres and the Yankees, though, and will have a huge impact on this World Series. And I want to get to that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So, of course, you know, seeing the very simplistic take, well, the Yankees got further in the playoffs than the Padres, so they've won the Juan Soto trade. I do not subscribe to that, because I don't think that if the Padres had kept Juan Soto, if salary was not a consideration, that they would have been necessarily better off. This team would have been better with Juan Soto, but without Michael King and Dylan Cease and Kyle Higashioka and Randy Vasquez and Johnny Brito. I think the Padres were a better version of the Padres having traded Juan Soto than they would have been having kept Juan Soto. Do you agree with that? You had to get a lot of things right, but they did. They got enough production out of the guys that they picked up for Juan Soto.
Yeah, they did.
That made it a win for the Padres.
Boy, it doesn't mean I don't miss watching Juan Soto play.
Of course not.
I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword.
And it doesn't mean it wasn't a huge win for the Yankees as well.
Yeah.
Clearly, you know, they're in the World Series, chance to win it all, and Soto's had a monster season for them. I'm sure they consider it a big win from their perspective, and you can debate that one as much as you want. The one that I keep going back to, though, and keep thinking over and over again, is not from this offseason. It was from a couple of years ago when the Padres made a record offer to Aaron Judge before ending up signing Xander Bogaerts. And really, they made the best offer. Aaron Judge admitted they made the best offer, but ultimately accepted less to return to the New York Yankees. And perhaps that was the right decision for Aaron Judge ultimately as well. It certainly played out pretty well for him.
Yeah, but I'd say so.
I certainly do wonder how the landscape of baseball would be different if Aaron Judge had decided, yes, you know what? I want to play at Petco Park. They're offering me this gigantic deal. I mean, what are the dominoes in your mind? First of all, Padres don't sign Xander Bogaerts. So Aaron Judge is probably playing center field. Does Jackson Merrill come up and just play shortstop this year? And are the Padres in the World Series now? I mean, you know, Aaron Judge would be taking up a massive amount of payroll space.
He would.
I don't think that would change anything about their financial situation, Peter Seidler passing. All those issues would still be present, even with Aaron Judge. But you'd feel pretty good if you had Aaron Judge on your team. And you wonder, where would the Yankees be if they didn't have Aaron Judge at this point?
Cooked. Yeah.
They'd
be cooked. He's an MVP. So, yeah, I think, you wouldn't have traded Soto, right? I mean, I think, I don't know. We've had a lot of guys that have come through here and near misses.
I don't know. You might have still had to have traded.
Yeah, you might have.
Juan Soto.
You might have.
You would be paying more to Judge than you are to Xander Bogaerts.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to get under the luxury tax. You might have had to trade more players than just Juan Soto to get back under the luxury tax if you had Aaron Judge on your roster.
Tevin wants to know why we are talking what ifs. Welcome to the offseason, my friend. This is what you do in the offseason. You kick things around and just shoot the breeze. So I watched a clip yesterday. Mookie had Aaron Judge on his podcast, of course, before this series. And he basically said it was always New York. It was always going to be New York. Yeah, you know, it's part of the business. We tried to get the extension done. I hit free agency. He said it was massively, extremely stressful. I hated it, but it was always going to be New York. So, yeah, I think that's why he took less money. He's the captain of the team, and he plays in New York and is going to win an MVP, and now he's in the World Series. Worked out pretty well for everyone. His offseason is going to be massively interesting because I don't know how you let that guy go to a fourth team at 25 years old, which would be insane. That would be his fourth team. And he's 25. So, yeah, he kind of always had it in his mind. He was going to go back to New York. That's what he wanted to do, and they made it work.
All right. Again, yes, it's kind of a silly hypothetical, but it was real decisions that were made by both organizations and by Aaron Judge that have had a huge impact on this season and now this World Series in particular.
Well, I mean, look, and the Yankees went, that's as all in as you can go on a rental. You know, what they gave up for Aaron Judge or for Juan Soto, they went as all in as they could, and it paid off for them. And it paid off for us. I know we didn't reach the ultimate goal, and I'm still disappointed about that, certainly, but it definitely paid off for us as well. We got some great players out of it, and hopefully a couple of guys that are going to be here for a while.
Meanwhile, there's one guy who really can't lose this World Series, and he's a name that should be fairly familiar to Padres fans. And I didn't even realize this, but The Athletic did a piece. So Taylor Trammell, former Padres prospect, was traded to the Seattle Mariners, but they let him go. Actually has played for both the Dodgers and the Yankees this season. He had one game with the Dodgers and just like five of them with the Yankees. Earlier this season. Now, five for the Dodgers earlier this season, and he was picked up by the Yankees later. He wasn't on the playoff roster, but he's on the team, which means he's eligible for a World Series ring no matter what happens.
It's a win-win for him.
Kind of. I mean, if you consider not really contributing to a team, but getting a World Series as a win out of it.
I would take the ring. Gladly.
I mean, if the alternative is not having a ring, sure, I guess.
What a position to be in, though, that either team wins, you're getting a ring. It's either going to have a big old NY on it, or it's going to have a giant LA on it, emblazoned in diamonds and sapphires and everything else. Like, I'm sold.
It's funny, though, because you know, there are a lot of players who win World Series rings that really didn't do much to deserve them. And Sam Blum from The Athletic actually went and found one of them in this piece. Pitcher Jalen Beeks, who was part of the 2018 Red Sox team.
What a quote.
And won a championship ring. And yes, he said, so in this piece, they talked about, so his stat line for the Red Sox, two disastrous appearances, 9 earned runs, 6 1/3 innings, and then was traded to the Tampa Bay Rays. He then pitched against the Red Sox and pitched well against them that season. And he said, it's hilarious. I cost them like 4 games that year. I didn't help them at all. I don't know, man. It's an interesting twist on it. I wish I could tell you my World Series ring left me with some sort of deep connection. You know, it's so funny that there are so many players out there who, yeah, you're part of the organization. He literally admits, I not only didn't help the team,
I
hurt the team by pitching badly for them
and
well against them during the year. They won the World Series in spite of me, yet I get a World Series ring because, well, I was on the team that year.
That's fantastic, man. Fantastic. That's like some really next level self-awareness on Jordan Beeks. Jalen Beeks. That is some really good self-awareness there from him. And I kind of see where he's coming from. And 5 games with both teams. It's weird. It's a weird one. I mean, if you obviously take it if they give it to you, but I don't know that you can go waving it around, you know?
That's what it comes down for me. Like, in 30 years, when he's got grandchildren over, is that
check
like
this,
is that the one where he's like, yeah, and that's my World Series.
That's my World Series ring.
I actually lost. Because like, if the Dodgers win, he's like, I actually lost, but I did have 6 at bats with the Dodgers back in April.
Sam Blum goes and finds some other guys too. You remember Sean Casmar was a Padre back in the a little bit in the 2010s. Sean Kazmar.
You're thinking of Scott Kazmir.
K-A-Z-M-A-R. Sean Kazmar Jr. made a cameo for the 2021 Braves. Was there at spring training, then retired, but got, he says, I went out a World Series champion. I didn't do anything for that team the whole year, but I got to end my career as a World Series champion. Another former Padre who did it, Dusty Coleman, went hitless in five at-bats for the 2015 Kansas City Royals, yet because of that, has a World Series championship ring from that year.
0-for-5 gets you a ring.
He actually appeared in 27 games for the 2017 Padres.
They should give you like a pendant or something.
Something
or like
different.
A pin.
Yeah.
Like a little pin.
I won the World Series.
I played five games. This
is my one of those stickers.
Yeah,
hello,
sticker.
I won the World Series.
Like I voted. That's so good.
All right. Take on Woods and a Thursday night football controversy next on The Fan.